In 2016, a Seattle man named Stephen Long sued the city of Seattle after parking enforcement towed his truck. Long had been living in that truck. He'd been parking it in an empty lot owned by the city. He was violating the Seattle law that says you have to move your vehicle every 3 days. Stephen Long has won his lawsuit so far. A King County judge ruled that since his truck is his home, impounding it violates the state's Homestead Act. The city of Seattle is appealing the judge's ruling, and City Councilmember Mike O'Brien joins us now. Welcome, Councilmember.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Why does Seattle make people move their car every 3 days?
Well, it's a way we manage on-street parking. It's generally set up so that people don't use the street for permanent storage of their vehicles.
Why not?
Well, if everyone decided they wanted to park all the vehicles on the street, I guess it's a policy around making sure that there's some turnover on the street so people have access to come and go. It's a law that's been in place for quite a while.
Is it a way to keep people from living in their vehicles in part?
The law was created long before I was on the council, so I don't know the specific intent, but my understanding is that it's more about making sure that the on-street parking rotates. But what it's come to represent for a lot of folks is a tool to prevent people from living in their vehicles, from staying in one space for too long. And I think it's a one of these unfortunate situations where it's kind of been reverse engineered to try to address a problem, not very well, not so successfully, but it's the one of the few tools that are out there to address this challenge, and it's complicated. And I think this ruling demonstrates that the city has, frankly, dropped the ball on coming up with proactive solutions to people that are living in vehicles.
If this man, Stephen Long, were to win again on appeal and the city could not impound a vehicle that someone lives in, what would be the worst thing about that?
You know, when I read through the judge's ruling, it's more nuanced than that.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, the approach that this judge took in the ruling is one that I agree with. She is very clear in the ruling that everything she says doesn't mean the city cannot enforce its parking rules. She doesn't say that she's prohibiting the city from ticketing or towing or fining people, even if they live in their vehicles. But she is trying to balance the city's ability to enforce those laws with the reality on the case-by-case basis of individuals who are using them as their home.
Well, your city attorney is saying, assistant city attorney said, well, under this ruling, we can't enforce our parking laws. We don't know who's living in a vehicle and who's not. Are you signed on to this appeal of the ruling by the city? Are you supporting that?
I do not sign on to that. The city attorney has sole authority and discretion for representing the city in legal matters. I have had a discussion with the city attorney. I'm not a legal expert, so I don't want to question some of the legality of this. There may be kind of strategic reasons why the city attorney would want to appeal to preserve good case law for future instances.
Right.
But I've been very clear with the city attorney that I think the city should actually have policies in place that acknowledge that people living in their vehicles have certain rights that to their home, and we need to honor that.
What policy would that be?
You know, we drafted legislation last year that talked about this, and so there's a number of ways to do it. But when you read the judge's ruling, it's very clear for her that once the city became aware that Stephen Long was living in this vehicle, that her attitude shifted. And so I think for the city, first of all, to have a program that goes out and tries to identify people that are living in their vehicles. And so talk to folks. Is this your home? And when someone identifies, yes, this is my home, we should have the types of services and outreach to work with those individuals to get them back into housing.
So could they get, maybe they could get their vehicle back if they sign something saying they have no other address?
Well, we shouldn't impound this in the first place if we know that someone's living in it.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to do, and I think in general this is what people across the city want to do too, is let's solve the problem. I mean, we got to step back for 1 second, Bill, and just acknowledge that in a city as wealthy as Seattle, that we have thousands of people living in vehicles and in tents is a complete failure of our society, and it's unacceptable. We need to figure out how to provide actual housing for everyone in our community, and we're working on that. We have some ideas on how we might be able to do that, but the reality today is that there are thousands of people outdoors, and tomorrow I'm not going to have all the housing I need. And so we do have to have some interim measures.
We're talking with Seattle City Council member Mike O'Brien. Short of housing for all, what's the alternative for people who do live in their vehicles? Where can they park?
Well, the embarrassing part for me is that as a city, we have no plan. And we need to come up with a plan. Now, as a city council member, I have worked with people living in their vehicles almost since I started on city council 6 or 7 years ago. And starting with the Road to Housing program, where we're working with churches to provide safe lots. But, you know, when we fund, you know, over 1,000 shelter beds in the city on any given night, we have no investments for people, directly investments for people that are living in their vehicles. And I think we need to come up with a plan.
Why don't we? You championed safe lots. They turned out to be far more expensive than thought, right?
Well, we've done a couple things. So the first program I worked with was working with churches and giving them the support so that they could host lots. I encouraged the last mayor to come up with a strategy, and they worked on the safe lots. The strategy they chose to implement was, a lot with 24-hour paid staffing on site, and that's a very expensive model. We look at our sanctioned tent encampments. Those are self-managed tent encampments. So we provide some support and services, but we also expect them to set up structures where they kind of self-regulate and self-police. It's a much more affordable model. So there are other models. In the church lots, we don't have 24-hour staffing. People living in vehicles are not terribly different than people living in the houses, other than that their circumstances are challenging. They're not, they want to live in an organized structure. They want to have some network and safety around them. You know, you put half a dozen people living in vehicles in a church lot, and they figure out how to look out for each other. And they, you know, if the church says, hey, you need to put your garbage here, here's where you use the bathroom, we expect you to turn the lights off at a certain time, they're perfectly capable of following rules when it's clear what they can do. What I think the city needs to do...
Well, you've certainly heard the people coming to you with photos of needles, and I've seen videos of vehicles on fire for whatever reason, whatever happened in there. I mean, you're saying that that's an overblown image people have?
There are, just like there are people that are housed that are playing by the rules and people that are breaking rules, certainly within the unhoused population, there's a whole range of folks. And I certainly see those examples. And it's important that the city is able to enforce laws to protect all of us, including people that are homeless, from folks that are not playing by the rules. But the vast majority of people that are living outdoors, they're in some form of crisis, whether it's just out of poverty or some health condition or behavioral health, mental health, addiction. There's a whole host of reasons why someone may have lost their housing today. They're still capable of being part of our society, and we need to provide some support for that.
What do you make of the argument that more so-called safe lots would attract so many more car campers to Seattle that the city couldn't keep up with the demand for parking space?
You know, I reject that argument. I mean, if you follow that argument to its logical conclusion, then you pretty much start saying, why don't we figure out how we can provide no services at all and force people to go to another city, and it's a race to the bottom. So we can't do that. Does that mean that we shouldn't set expectations for people throughout the region to also address this problem? That's exactly what we should be doing. And, we are doing that work around all the regional tables we all sit at. And, it's not easy work to do, but people throughout the region are stepping up. They're building more services, more shelter options, more affordable housing options, so that it is not just a Seattle problem. This is not, sometimes it gets characterized as like, oh, what a life, if I could live for free in a beat-up old RV, why do I even bother to pay my property taxes? These folks living in these vehicles they're struggling. This is not an ideal living situation for them either. They're not choosing to do this as a lifestyle choice, but they have plenty of money to go afford housing if they just so chose. And so when you meet with the individuals and try to address the challenges they're facing, and some of the challenges are kind of Herculean. You know, when someone is living in their vehicle and they're addicted to heroin, that's not an easy path to get them back. But that's an addiction problem. That's a public health issue. That's a behavioral health issue that we need to address as a medical condition, not as someone just making bad decisions, and get them the resources to get back.
We're talking with Seattle City Council member Mike O'Brien, and the city is expected to appeal that King County Superior Court judge's ruling on whether the city can impound and hold someone's vehicle against large fees if that person is living in that vehicle. That's our time for now, Council Member O'Brien. Really appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil.